Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
Harry was known for receiving letters from Plainfield, New Jersey, from Mama, who would give the family news, sister, babe, and so forth and so on.
Writer George Balzer.
About Mary's part, though, mm-hmm. in the show, along with the letters, she was a female that we always knew was there.
Mm-hmm.
She would play any part that we asked of her, and as she wasn't the girlfriend, she was just a friend. If we were going to do a romantic scene of some kind, why, Jack would have a date with some movie starlet or whatever. But if it helped the show, Mary would go along and take jibes at Jack during the evening.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Say, Jack, I got your message. What'd you want to see me about?
I'll tell you when the rest of the gang get here. Why'd you come over so early, Mary?
Well, I got a letter from Mom, and I wanted to read it to you.
Oh, a letter from your mother? Well, what does the Lauren Bacall of Plainfield have to say?
Very funny. Plainfield, New Jersey, February 30th.
February 30th? Mary, February only has 28 days.
I know, but Mama doesn't think it's fair.
No. Well, go ahead, read it.
My dear daughter, Mary, it certainly was exciting when you and Jack spent those few days with us on your trip east. It's too bad you had to dress in such a hurry that morning to catch the train.
We barely made it, you know.
I didn't realize how much you had rushed until after you were gone. But don't worry, as I just mailed your toothbrush and Jack's hair. The one with the handle is the toothbrush.
No wonder I caught cold in Chicago.
Now for a paragraph or two about your sister, Babe.
Ah, good. This is the part I like.
Since the warm weather is here, your sister Babe got herself one of those new French bathing suits. She tried it on yesterday, and I haven't seen so much of Babe since the doctor said it's a girl. However, she's very happy with the suit. Next month, she's entering a swimming contest.
A contest? Gee, I didn't even know that she could swim.
Oh, sure, Jack. Babe's a regular mermaid.
Well, I've noticed the resemblance, except the wrong half looks like a fish. Funnier than your mother today. Continue with the letter, Mary.
Okay. Mary, dear, you'll be happy to know that Babe is also taking dancing lessons from Arthur Murray.
Well.
She got a swell deal, too. He teaches her dancing and she fixes his plumbing.
I knew she could do it.
And now, in closing, Mary, I have some neighborhood gossip that will really surprise you. Guess who murdered his wife this morning? No other news. Love, Mama.
And that's how you met Mary? You were in L.A.?
Yeah, I was playing at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles, and Mary was working cross street at the May Company.
Now, let's see. I better go over it again. Ladies and gentlemen, mere words fail to express my deep appreciation for this wonderful gesture. And I
thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, yes.
My goodness, Jack.
I'll draw a heart on my cuff. That'll remind me of it. And another thing, Mary, at the end of my speech, I mustn't forget to mention the people who have been associated with me during all these years. Let's see, of course, I'll mention my present cast. You know, Don Wilson, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and Rochester.
And Mary Livingston.
Yes, of course.
Oh, and don't forget Andy Devine and Schlepperman.
That's right, Andy and Schlepp. And then I want to mention Ed Sullivan again. You know, he was the first one I was on the air for. And then when I first started out on Canada Dry Ginger Ale, see, there was Ed Ferguson, George Hicks, George Olson. You remember George Olson?
Yes.
Ethel Chate, and Paul Douglas, Ted Weems.
And Andrea Marsh.
Yeah, Andrea. Of course, Andrea. Then there was a bunch who worked with me on Chevrolet. You remember, there was Frank Black, James Melton, Howard Claney. And then later on in that same series, there was Frank Parker, And Aloys Havrilla.
And Mary Livingston.
Mary, everybody knows that. Let's see, and then when we went on General Tires after that, that's where Don Wilson joined us. And also Don Bester.
And remember those spats he used to wear?
Yeah, I bet he still got them on. Now, let's see, where did we go from General Tires?
To Jell-O.
Oh, yes, good old Jell-O. That was back in 34. And then a little later on, Johnny Green joined us. Gosh, how he used to play the piano.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget Michael Bartlett.
That's right, Michael Bartlett. And then Kenny Baker came along. Remember how bashful he was?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That Kenny was a swell kid. I wonder what program he's on now.
He's with Fred Allen, and you know it.
Well, anyway, after Kenny... Oh, yeah, Jimmy Greer and Abe Lyman, they were with us when we traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And let's see. Oh, yeah, then Phil Harris joined us.
Remember how corny he was in those days?
What do you mean, in those days? Well, that's just about brings us up to date, Mary.
Gee, you work with a lot of people, haven't you, Jack?
Those aren't the only ones, Mary. How about my writers? There's Bill Morrow and Ed Beloyne, who are writing my programs now, and... You remember Harry Kahn that used to write my program?
Yes, uh-huh.
How about all the other actors and actresses that appeared from time to time? See, they were all swell, too.
Say, it's getting late. I think we better get started.
Yeah. You think I look all right, Mary? Now, I wonder if I ought to wear a carnation.
Why don't you wear a bachelor button? It'll bring out your big blue eyes.
No, I'll just wear this carnation. Well, look who's here. Hello, Joni.
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mommy.
Joni, dear, we've got to leave now, so I think you better kiss Mommy and Daddy goodbye.
Why, Joni Benny, you're not going to the banquet. Why are you wearing an evening dress?
Oh, Daddy, you're so silly. This is a nightgown.
Well, I was only kidding. Thinks I'm always silly. Goodbye, sweetheart.
Goodbye, Daddy. Pull your tails out.
Oh, yes. I forgot. You know, Mary, Mary, I think Joni is going to grow up to be just like you. Come on, doll, let's go.
Tell us about your mother. She was a part of your father's act from very early on, wasn't she?
Yes.
Mary
originally,
Livingston.
Well, originally she was Sadie Marks,
mm-hmm.
from Seattle.
Jack's daughter, Joan.
And it was the writers, I believe, who gave her the name Mary Livingston. She began, they wrote a role for a fan from Plainfield, New Jersey. And through various circumstances, my mother wound up playing that part on the radio. And afterwards, there was so much mail about, you know, who was this? They loved the laugh and they loved this girl and we want to hear her again.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they couldn't keep using a fan from Plainfield, New Jersey. And so she became, I don't know what. Nobody really knows who she was on the show. She wasn't really his girlfriend. She certainly wasn't a Girl Friday. She was just there. Not quite sure what the role was. But, of course, eventually the name Mary Livingston stuck and she actually changed it legally. What amused me over the many years, not only fan mail, but people would come up to her in person and say, you know, that we went to school with you in Plainfield, New Jersey. My mother had never been to Plainfield, New Jersey. She became very established.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary. Where were you?
I just got a letter from Mama, and I was out in the hall reading it to the janitor.
To the janitor?
Yeah, he says Mama's funnier than you are.
What, Cyril said that? Cyril? I hope he gets termites in his broom handle.
You want to hear the letter? Mama's a panic today.
Oh, all right, go ahead. What's the Bee Lily of Plainfield got to say?
Here it is, Plainfield, New Jersey, March the 9th.
Look, it's written in red ink.
Yeah, it's an extra.
Oh. Well, go ahead.
My darling daughter, Mary, just a few words to let you know we're all well and that I received your last check. Quite a while ago, wasn't it?
The old gold digger. Go ahead.
So sorry you couldn't be here for your sister Ruby's wedding. It was a grand affair.
Well, it's about time she got married.
When the bridegroom said I do, your father yelled hooray. And I was so embarrassed I stopped applauding.
That's typical of your mother.
Your sister's husband is a local tree surgeon. And it was love at first sight.
Oh.
She met him one day when he came to prune your Uncle Otto's wooden leg. Which is budding again.
Budding again?
Yeah. Last year they got 3 bushels of apples off it.
Oh, that's amazing. Continue.
Your new brother-in-law is 6 feet tall and has beautiful brown hair, which would look much better without those bangs.
Your sister would get somebody like that.
Quiet. Oh. The happy couple are driving to California on the honeymoon and plan to visit you. So get out of town before it's too late, my dear.
Boy, is she corny.
I don't think so.
Of course not. You're in the groove, too. Go ahead, Mary.
Your brother Marvin wants to thank you.
Oh, hello, Kenny.
Hello, Jack. What's going on?
Nothing. Mary's mother's hogging our program again. Go ahead, Mary.
Your brother Marvin wants to thank you for the movie camera you sent him on his birthday. He took movies of your cousin Willie last week in our neighbor's chicken coop.
Well.
It must be quite a picture. They're going to preview it tonight at the police station.
What a family.
Must close now as there's no other news. Give my love to Don, Kenny, Phil, and that gray-haired weasel you work with.
Think she's comical.
So goodbye for now. Your loving mother, Pygmalion Livingston.
Pygmalion? Well, she's topical anyway, huh?
P.S. I almost forgot to tell you. When your father read about Hedy Lamarr eloping, he tried to kill himself, but with gin as usual.
Well, I'm glad that's over with.
I can remember an occasion where we had finished, we were at Jack's house, and we had finished working on a script.
Writer George Balzer.
And I had quickly looked it over, just for my own benefit. And I said, Jack, do you know that I don't think you've got one laugh in this whole show? And I remember his response. He says, George, don't worry about it. He said, because on Monday morning, people are still going to say, if it's a good show, did you hear the Jack Benny show last night? And he was so right. It made no difference to him. A lot of comedians, especially radio comedians, would count laughs. And if they had a routine with the guest star, and the guest star got a laugh, the comedian better have a laugh to go with it. And maybe more laughs. Or if there was a good joke written for the guest star, the comedian would take that joke, and it didn't fit him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a funny joke, and he was going to do whatever else.
He wanted the laugh.
He wanted the laugh, yes. Jack never operated that. He says, I don't care who gets the laughs. It's my show.
Well, that, I think, was part of the great success of the Jack Benny program.
Right. No question about it.
We were doing our show, and we had a scene in it where Rochester was talking to a friend of his about Jack Benny, which we did frequently.
Writer Milt Josephsberg.
And what happened that week is England devaluated the pound. The pound had been worth, and my figures may be off, like $4.88 in American money. It was devalued to $2.75. Please don't anybody write in and say the figures are such and such. Uh-huh. But anyway, the value of the pound was nearly cut in half. Well, John Tackerberry and I were writing a spot where this friend of Rochester's was talking to him, and he says, does Mr. Benny, do you completely understand Mr. Benny, something like that? He says, no, he says, sometimes he puzzles me. Like, this week he started paying me in English pounds, which was a funny joke. Now, George and Sam, Perrin and Balzer, they wrote a spot, and they wrote, in their half of the show, they wrote a whole spot, 3 pages, with Don Wilson, where Don Wilson claimed that he no longer weighed 260 pounds. He only weighed 140 pounds. And it was very funny. But Jack read the show over, the completed show, and he said, I would rather do the one joke where Roger says, this week, for some reason, he started paying me in English pounds. Now, there is a rivalry between, among writers, particularly in those days. But when it comes to sacrificing one line, as against sitting for 2 hours and writing a whole spot for Don Wilson, we immediately began to take Balzer and Perrin aside, saying, that's great, it should be. And Jack was adamant. He says, no, it goes this way. And we had to write a whole new spot for Don Wilson. And in retrospect, Jack was right, because the other was just another fat joke.
Mm-hmm.
Although we argue, Jack said it's just another fat joke, and we said, well, this is another cheap joke. He says, yes, but it is so clever.
Yeah.
He says that we won't get another clever one like that. So he did take part in the shows, in the writing of the shows, to that extent. He always said that he couldn't write, but he was the best editor in the mm-hmm. business.
I can remember, if I may tell a little incident, to show you how brash I was, I guess. I shouldn't have been, but I was. And it was about my fifth or sixth week on the show. And I'm just a young kid. And here's this big star. We're sitting in the conference room at NBC, and we're cutting a script and strengthening it. It was on a Saturday for Sunday's show. And we had fixed several places, and then Jack came to a page, and he says, fellas, this joke right here, I think we ought to have something different. And there's silence. Something stronger. Silence. I mean, something that's really solid. Silence. And then I said, Jack, okay, we'll change it. He says, oh, you agree with me, huh? I said, no, but it's possible that the four of us could be wrong. I want to tell you, you never saw a man laugh so hard in all your life. He just roared, and he kind of slid down off his chair, and he's laughing sitting on the floor. He's laughing and laughing and laughing, and he got up and he said, I wouldn't change that joke now for $1 million. And he didn't. And we went on the air. He read the joke exactly the way he was supposed to, and it got a big laugh. And he looked up at the booth where we were all standing, and you know what he was thinking, you see. But most comedians, and I really believe this is true, most comedians in that kind of a situation would have misread the line just to kill it purposely to make their point. Not Jack. Not Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, around this time of year, Jack Benny goes through a rather peculiar annual routine. He takes inventory of all the commodities in his pantry. As we look in, Rochester and Jack are checking off the items.
2 cans of corned beef hash.
2 cans of corned beef hash.
4 bottles of olives.
Rochester, slow down. I can't write that fast.
Mr. Benny, I can't understand why you take inventory every fall. You run this house just like a grocery store.
I do not. Uh-oh, I broke the point of this pencil. Where's the pencil sharpener?
In the cash register.
Oh, yes. Darn it, I hit the 60-cent key instead of no sale. Now my books won't balance. Well, let's get on with the inventory, Rochester.
Yes, 6 cans of peas.
6 cans of peas.
5 cans of corn.
5 cans of corn.
436 cans of pork and beans.
430. Rochester, how come we got so many cans of pork and beans?
Don't you remember? Mr. Paley threw those in to clinch the deal.
Oh, yes, one for each station. Now, continue, Rochester.
2 bottles of vanilla extract.
2 bottles of vanilla extract.
1 bottle of Lydia Pinkham's.
One bottle of Lydia Pinkham's.
12 slices of white bread.
12 slices of white bread.
7 slices of whole wheat bread.
7 slices of whole wheat bread.
Oh, say, boys.
What is it, Rochester?
When we come to the toothpicks, let's just estimate.
Okay for the plain ones, but the colored ones we'll count. Now, let's finish this.
Yes, 6 bottles of ketchup.
6 bottles of ketchup.
6 bottles of chili sauce.
6 bottles of chili sauce.
3 cans of Strong Heart.
3 cans of Strong Heart.
Boss, why have we got that?
I borrowed it from the Colemans.
But we haven't got a dog. Why'd you borrow it?
Well, they were out of butter, and I didn't want to leave empty-handed. We'll use it someday. Continue.
1 sack of Idaho potatoes.
1 sack of Idaho potatoes. Rochester, answer the door. I'll finish the inventory.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Welcome to Ralph's Supermarket.
What?
Come right in.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What are you doing up on that stool?
Oh, I'll be finished in a minute. I'm just putting some stuff back on the top shelf. Would you please hand me those 2 jars of caviar?
Oh, fine. Fish eggs from a frightened mackerel, and he calls it caviar.
Mary, I've got a cold. Why do you have to come over here and...
Jack, look out! The stool! The cat's falling!
Ooh.
Jack, are you hurt?
No, I'm all right. What are you laughing at?
With those fish eggs in your ear, you look like you're going upstream to spawn.
Upstream to spawn. Man nearly kills himself, and you talk about romance.
One thing I must tell you. I once had an idea, and we thought this would run for 6 or 7 weeks. And the idea was that Jack was taking inventory of the stuff in the house, and a 5-gallon or tremendous can of pineapple juice or tomato juice would fall on Jack's head and knock him out. When Rochester brought him to, what would happen was that he was perfectly healthy, excepting for one thing. Instead of being a miser, he was a spendthrift, and he was going to go on a spending spree. And we thought we would run this for several weeks. We had great difficulty in writing it. Jack had great difficulty in doing it because every joke that we did went against the character. And all we were able to do was the following week we did it and had him snap out of it and come right back to where he was, because that character was so strongly established.
Oh, I'll get that.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hiya, Livy.
Hello, boys. Come on in.
Oh, say, Mary, that call sounded quite urgent. What happened?
Yeah, what's up, Liv?
Well, I'm worried about Jack. Last week, while he was taking inventory in his pantry, a big can of tomato juice hit him on the head. And since then, he's been spending money like mad.
Wait. Wait just a minute. Hold it. Look, Mary, the acoustics ain't so good in here. Would you mind throwing that again?
I said since Jack got hit on the head, he's been spending money.
Jackson?
Yes.
Whose?
His.
No.
Yes.
Well, heavens to Max Factor, that old man has blown his top.
Phil, this is no laughing matter. Will you please sit down?
Well, the chairs are taken.
He can sit on my lap.
Pauline, you're not supposed to be in here. Now, boys, the question is, what are we going to do about Jack?
Nothing. Why tamper with a slot machine when it's paying off?
Phil, this is nothing to joke about. I'm really worried.
I'm worried, too. I didn't sleep a wink. I walked the streets all night.
You did?
Yeah, my folks moved and didn't tell me where.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, Dennis. I'm sure it was just an oversight.
Some oversight. It's the 5th time they did it this month.
Dennis, keep quiet.
Am I heavy, Pauline?
Phil, get off her lap. Now, kids, I talked to the doctor, and he said the reason Jack is spending money is because when the can hit him on the head, it caused a quilobum caribri compressit.
Quilobum caribri compressit? What's that?
That's Latin for hand me the jug, Gremley. It's cold outside.
There's no use talking to you, Phil.
Well, you can talk to me, Mary. I know how serious it can be. My mother once hit my father over the head, and he was unconscious for 2 days.
For 2 days? What'd she hit him with?
Me.
With you?
She kept hitting him and hitting him.
Dennis.
Oh, boy, could the Dodgers have used her.
Dennis, please. Now, come on, kids. I think it's time we got started for Jack's house.
Okay, Mary, let's go.
Oh, Rochester. Rochester.
Hello, boss. I let you sleep late because I thought it would help your cold. And besides, I... Well, where'd you get that bathrobe? That's a beauty.
Oh, I bought it yesterday. Of course, it's nothing fancy, but... What can you expect for $250?
$250 for a bathrobe?
And Rochester, send my old one to Fred Allen. And you better put a sandwich in each pocket. He's out of work. Well, I think I'll go back in my room and get dressed. I want to do a little shopping before the gang gets here for rehearsal.
But, boss, you've been shopping every day this week.
Oh, that was just to pick up a few antiques.
Antiques? You mean that spin wheel in the living room is only for ornamental purposes?
Yes, why?
When you came home with it, I ran to the backyard and planted cotton.
Now, Rochester, stop being silly. You have enough work to do around here.
I have?
Certainly. Now that I think of it, you can have the evening off.
Gee, thanks, boss. I think I'll call my girl Susie and take her out.
Well, that's a good idea. Rochester, here's $20. Show her a good time. Here, take it.
$20? But...
No, Rochester, I want you to have it. Now, you take that money and go out and have a... Oh, Rochester, you've got tears in your eyes.
I can't help it, boss. You haven't been so nice to me since I was in bed with pneumonia.
Rochester.
You felt so sorry for me, you only made me work half days.
What are you talking about?
Don't you remember, boss? You used to pick me up at the hospital every day at noon.
I don't remember that. Well, I'm going to put my clothes on. See you later. Da-da-dee-da-da, da-dee-da-da, da-da, da-dee-da-da-da. Now, let's get on with the rehearsal so we can... Oh, for heaven's sake, what's that can of tomato juice doing on the piano?
Rochester put it there.
Yeah, the newsreels will be here any minute.
What?
Dennis, be quiet.
Now, why should a can of tomato juice be here? Oh, Rochester! Rochester! Oh, I'll put it away myself. Excuse me a minute. Can't understand what's the matter with everybody. Don trying to save me money, Mary whispering. Oh, well. Gee, the pantry is full. Now, there's a little space on this top shelf. If I stand on my tiptoes, I could just...
Boss, did you call me?
Yes, Rochester. Why did you...
Boss, look out! Look out! The cans are falling!
Rochester, this is all
boss,
your fault.
Look out! There's another one! How do you like that? It happened again.
Rochester! Rochester, what's going on in here?
Jack, what happened?
Jack, are you hurt?
Huh? What'd you say, Mary?
I asked if you were hurt.
No, I'm all right. Now, come on, Rochester, let's finish taking this inventory.
Inventory? Jack, you finished that last week.
Yeah, we're here for rehearsal.
Rehearsal? I don't know what you're all... Rochester, what are you standing around all dressed up for?
I got a date. You said I could have the night off.
When did I give you the night off?
About an hour ago, you even gave me $20 spending money.
I? I gave you $20?
Sure, here. I'll show it to you. See? I should have never taken it out of my pocket.
Don, he's back to his old self.
Yeah, hit him again. Harder.
Dennis, you keep quiet. Now, look, kids, I don't know what this is all about, but come in.
Well, here I am, Mr. Benny. I hope I didn't keep you waiting.
Waiting? What do you want, mister?
I've come for the $49,000 you owe me on the yacht.
What? What did you say?
I said I've come for the $49,000 you owe me on the yacht.
All right, mister, you've had your little joke. Now, what do you want?
I'm not joking. You bought a yacht, put a $1,000 deposit on it, and still owe me $49,000.
I gave you $1,000? Let me see it.
I will not. I'm keeping it right in my pocket.
Now I know why I'm a butler and he's a yacht salesman.
Quiet, Rasha. This man is trying some swindle game, saying I bought a yacht.
But, Jack, you yourself told us you bought it, and I think you'll get a lot of pleasure out of it.
Now, you keep your big fat mouth out of this.
Oh, he's right, Jack. You ought to keep the yacht.
Very.
Oh, you even named it after me.
Never mind. And get your hands out of that candy. Now, look, mister, if you think you can swindle me...
I'm not swindling you. You ordered the yacht. You paid a deposit. And I'll get the rest of that money if I have to sue you.
Well, let me tell you something. You're not going
to get... Well, here I am, Mr. Benny. I hope I ain't late for rehearsal.
Mel Blake, what are you doing here? I don't need you on my show.
Oh, but you hired me over the phone. You even raised my salary to $100.
I? I gave you... What's going on here anyway? Do you think I'd pay $100 just to hear you imitate Al Jolson?
Nah.
Oh, shut up!
Now, how about it, Benny? Am I going to get my $49,000 or do I call my lawyer?
I don't care how many lawyers you call. You're not going to get any money out of me.
But, Jack, it's only money. It's not as though he's taking your life's blood.
Let me be the judge of that. Now, mister, you better return my deposit. I must have been out of my mind when I gave it to you. I wouldn't pay $50,000 for any crummy boat.
Crummy? I'll have you know that some of the best men in this country own our yachts. Men like Humphrey Bogart, Robert Taylor, and Al Jolson.
Nah.
Now stop that!
And get out! Out, both of you! Get out, get out, get out! Barry. Barry. What's going on around here anyways? Everybody crazy?
No, Jack, I don't blame you for being confused. Come on in the other room and I'll explain it to you.
I wish you would.
Hello?
Hello, Susie. Our date is off tonight. I'm broke.
Broke? Well, Rochester, I thought you said you had $20.
Have you ever heard that expression, easy come, easy go?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've just had a personal demonstration. Goodbye.